Father, we are so grateful for your presence in this place. We are so grateful, God, for the things that you have moved us out of and for the way that you have moved into us. We are going to spend just a few moments in your word today, but I know what has happened. I know what has happened in this place. I know what has happened in this place. You have moved God. You have moved God. You need no other words. You need no other voice. You need no other time. You have moved your people, and that is what we are here for. That is why we come to be in this place, for your presence, for the presence of your Spirit, God, and we are so grateful for the fact that you have moved in your people today. We ask, God, that you would bless just these last few moments. Father, we seek you in your word as always. Open our hearts, Father. Clear our minds in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen and amen. Sit down if you can, and if you can't, stay standing. God bless you. I don't want to cheapen this time. I don't know that with any more words or any more rhetoric, any more oratory, I don't know if I want to mess what God has done, but I feel maybe this is the way that we want to close out this service today. I was at Quadrennial Conference, and for those of you that don't know what that is, God bless you. It's every 4 years we try to get everybody who is licensed and is specifically ordained through the International Pentecostal Holiness Church from all over the world to come to one location for two reasons. Number one, to praise and to worship God for what he's doing. And number two, there's the business side of church. Listen, the religion piece of church is challenging. I get that. The religion piece of church is challenging. But here's what I believe the Lord shared with me. When it comes to religion and faith, religion is like the peel on the fruit. Let that sink in for a second. Not a single one of you has ever gone to the grocery store and picked up an apple without a peel. Nobody has ever. If you did, please tell me you didn't eat that thing, because that's not right. Nobody has ever just walked up to a banana and they just had a fresh, nice, soft banana and just popped it in your mouth. There's got to be that container that helps it to grow, that protects it. What's inside is the most important. I'm not going to lie to you about that, because if any of you just eat fruit peels, I don't care what diet you think you're on, that's wrong. Kale is bad enough. Don't let anybody convince you that now the new thing is banana peels, because you're going to be sick and that's going to be on you. Nobody eats just the peel. We get through the peel to get to the fruit, but religion is that container. It's the thing, it's the structure that helps provide safety and security for what we do in the faith. So I was gone for an entire week, and I've only been to three. This was my third, and this is the best one I've ever been to. There's a lot of polity that happens. We have to talk about what goes on in the Pentecostal Holiness Church. We have a big manual. This got a lot of language, and that language is designed to provide structure and leadership and framework. And also, in our very litigious society, it's designed to provide protection for us so that we've got language if something happens in the church and some watchdog group comes hunting for us. And believe me, there are groups out there who would like nothing better than to eradicate religion and faith from the planet. They're out there waiting for us to slip up. I'm not a conspiracy theory person, I'm not, but I know what I see in the media. And I'm talking about not the fake media, and we won't even go there. I'm talking about I know what I see. And I know that the devil would like nothing more than to see the church perish on the face of the earth. So we go and we do all of those things. But at night, we had just the most incredible worship services I've been a part of. They were just amazing. On the last night, the Bishop Doug Beecham, who's the bishop of the entire thing, he spoke about sowing and reaping. And he talked about how the condition of your heart is the most important. He talked about how in the parable of the sower, that Jesus didn't come after the guy who was spreading the seed, even though some fell here and some fell there. He just talked about the condition of the soil. And then we talked about the different soils where the different IPHC exists, and we had a container. I'm going to bring you a picture next week. We had a container up on stage, and there was soil, actual soil, from I don't know how many nations and churches that we brought and we dumped in, and it layered into this beautiful thing. It was literally a representation of the soil of the world. And we prayed over the IPHC, and we prayed over her churches, and we prayed over her home churches, that God would expand us. We talked about the mission and vision. The second night, a man by the name of Samuel Rodriguez came, and he talked about how God does things when they're not supposed to happen. That the healing of the paralytic, the healing of the lame person at the pool of Bethesda, and if you don't know that story, you should look it up, happened on a Sunday. That's not supposed to happen. Not in Jewish culture. You're not supposed to do any work, and that includes any miracles, which I think is a little wacky. I think maybe they want to look at that. I think maybe they want to address that part of their whatever and maybe get that straight. But Jesus healed on the Sabbath. God does things when they're not supposed to happen. He talked about the open doors that look like closed doors until we walk up to them. We don't know that a door is closed until we walk up to it and allow God a chance to open. And he talked about the open doors that we've got to be willing to walk through in faith. But the first night, Beth Moore came and spoke. And I think it is hilarious, in a very ironic but also a very powerful way, that God brought a Southern Baptist lady to the International Pentecostal Holiness Church to tell us that we needed new and real fire. Now listen, I've known a few Baptists, and they're all about the fire at the end thing. They're all about that bad fire, that fire that you want to avoid no matter what. They're all about that bad fire often, and I'm not knocking my brothers and sisters of the Baptist faith, because they also go out all over the world preaching and teaching and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Baptists have sown I don't know how many churches out of faith. I don't know how many people owe their lives to missionaries from the Baptist church. I'm not knocking them at all. I'm just saying in my experience, they're all about avoid the fire. But this lady came and said, no, we need fire. We have got to have true and real and lasting fire. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes today about fire, because I think that that's something, if we're careful, we relegate to the place of figurative understanding in the Bible. It is easy for us to talk about fire in the Old Testament because we get it. This is fire, our representation thereof. When something is on fire, we understand that. Now, as usual, I did way too much research. I know more about actual fire than I should. I'm not going to bore you with that, simply to say this. Fire is not matter. It's a thing that's different. It's set apart from everything that we know and experience. Fire is part of a chemical reaction, but it's a visible, tangible side effect of matter changing form. When something is set ablaze, it changes form. Now, for most of us, I don't know if you've ever seen actual fire or ever been involved in an actual fire. It's a scary thing, because this stuff is designed to do one thing and one thing only, and that is consume. Consume and destroy. When an energetic reaction happens and fire springs up, baby, you better put that out, or it's gonna, everything that it touches, it's going to eat. It is a voracious thing that just consumes and consumes and consumes. It takes a second. I know that you've seen over the years the different fires that happen out west. I don't know how those things happen. I can't believe that cigarette smoking is still a thing. I can't believe they're just not. If you're driving through the flyover states, no offense, if you're driving through those states which are just big grasslands and you throw a cigarette butt out, you have absolutely no idea how many people's homes you just destroyed. It goes so fast, and it is relentless. It is designed to consume. This type of fire is designed to consume and to destroy. But there's another, oh God, there's another kind of fire that is available only to those who know Jesus and who are connected to God through the blood of the Lamb. There's a fire that's available to us, in whom the Ancient of Days resides as a temple. There's a type and kind of fire, not that just we can know, that we desperately need, because it's designed to consume too, but in a different way. I want to share just four quick scriptures with you. The first is in Exodus 3. You don't have to go there. I'm going to go fast. Exodus chapter 3. I have this representation because this has been one of the most meaningful things that the Lord has ever shared with me in my entire life. Moses is a leader, not yet, but he's a leader in the making. The seed of leadership is within him. And he has departed the old way of doing things. He doesn't want to be an Egyptian anymore because he knows in his heart of hearts he's a Hebrew. So he has taken off and he has left all the riches and all the wealth and all the power, all the status. He's left it all. And he is herding goats. He's a shepherd, which, remember, is on the low end of the totem when we're talking about the Jewish hierarchy of importance. He is herding another man's goats on the backside of the desert. He has gone as far as you can go looking for water and for feed for these animals, which don't even belong to him. He's probably not even getting paid for this, other than the fact that he's got a place to sleep and he's got food to eat. He's on the backside of the desert, herding another person's goats, doing a job for somebody else, when he comes upon a bush that is engulfed in flame and yet not consumed. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. It makes absolutely no sense. This story makes no sense, because what physical natural fire does is consume. It consumes and destroys. And that's why this guy walked over there, because he said, I've got to see this. You ever driven past a car wreck and you don't want to look, but you can't help it? You don't want to be part of the problem of the traffic, but you're driving by and you're like, don't look, don't look, don't look, and you just, wow. You just can't help but look. And then you don't know that you're staring until you get the horn of move ahead from behind you. Beep, beep, and then it's time to I guarantee you, Moses had never seen anything like this. Nobody had ever seen anything like this, and so he walked over there. And that's where the mission and vision of God came to him, from a bush engulfed in flame that was not destroyed. Listen to me. The Spirit of God is the only thing you can be consumed by and not destroyed by. It's the only thing that can consume your life and not destroy you from the inside out. You can be consumed with work, it'll destroy you. You can be consumed with family. But pastor, family's important. Being a husband, being a wife, being a father, it can consume you and it will destroy you, it will. You can be consumed with church. But if you are not consumed by the Spirit, church will destroy you as well. Nothing leaves you unburned except for the Spirit of God. That's it. Exodus chapter 13, that's all the visuals I have for you. That one was really important to me. Exodus chapter 13, I'll read quickly. By day the Lord went ahead of them. This is the people of Israel who have left captivity. By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Listen, it doesn't make any sense. But this doesn't make any sense. Now, it makes a natural sense in that if you're out in the desert, it's hot. There tends to not be a lot of shade in the desert because stuff doesn't grow there. And so God provided clouds so that people could have shade during the day. That's what the cloud was for. It wasn't necessarily just so they could see it, although cloud is very visible during the day. It was so that they could have some coolness during the day and some shade, but also so they could see where it was going. But then at night, strangely, the desert is incredibly cold. There's nothing to hold the heat. It can, the temperatures, and again, too much research, the temperatures can just, they jag between 70 degrees. It can just be unbearably hot in the day, and you can freeze to death at night. So at night, the Lord provided fire for light and for heat, also that they could see where they were going at night. Listen, whatever fire touches, it heats up. You should not be able to walk behind fire and not burn your feet on the sand. But the fire of God is a different thing. The fire of God is designed to consume, but not to destroy. Matthew chapter 3. This is John the Baptist speaking. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And this is where we depart from other denominations. Here it is. If you've been looking for it, this is it. This is it. Because the next step after this is Acts chapter 2. This is the next step for us. The next step is a bunch of kids together, all in an upper room. And they're worshiping God and they are praying and they're there because Jesus himself told them to go back there and wait. He told them to go back and wait for the one that was coming. He was leaving so the other one could come. Both couldn't be here simultaneously. That's the way God wanted it. God didn't want us to continue to look to a person. He wanted us to have the experience of him within us. He wanted us to rely on that part of him that lives within us. So Jesus left and those boys are up in that room and the Holy Spirit comes. And flames of fire appear over their heads. Now, this is the piece. This is where we really want fire to become figurative. We really want fire to be, oh, it was tongues of fire. You know, that's how it was. It wasn't like an actual flame. What if it was? What if what God was doing was a harken back to a bush that some kid across the desert saw when he was herding somebody's goats? What if he was saying, look, I promised it back then, and here it is right now. Here it is right now in real time, this fire which is designed to consume you but not to destroy you. This is where we depart, folks. This is where we break off from other groups of people because we believe that that fire is available to us today, right now, right now. We don't believe any place in the Word. There's no place in the Word that we find where God said, the fire stops here. And we have got to have that for our lives. If we don't have that, then we're stuck with all the other stuff that the world loves to dump off. Listen, we become an emotional, psychological dumping ground for the world. We just do. We do. The world will dump its anxiety, and you'll take it. You'll be like, just back the truck up over here. I have an empty space in my heart. Please dump your anxiety here. No, no, no. This area is frustration. This area, this is marked off. That over there is just purity fear. If you've got purity fear, over there. Absolutely. Discontent is this way. Discouragement. Up on the top left, we just provide this space. and we take it in. If we don't have fire to consume that, we're stuck with it. But Hebrews chapter 12, 29 says this, our God is a consuming fire. Fire is part of a reaction. It's part of a reaction, and it's the visible, tangible sign of matter changing form. In the same way that physical fire changes what it consumes, God can change you if you'll allow Him to consume you. Some of you were moved this morning. Oh, God, thank you, Father. Thank you, God, for showing yourself to your people. Thank you, God, for your presence and for the way that you have moved in us today. But I am asking right now in this moment that you move again in fire among your people. God, we want to be consumed by that thing which will not destroy us. We want to depart from those things which are tearing us apart. Our worries and our frustrations, Father, we want to throw them into the fire of your Spirit. Our challenges and our issues, God, they will continue to come. Listen to me. It was the last night. Oh, I don't know if I can hold it together. It was the last night of this thing. It was the last service. And I was standing and I was praying and the Holy Spirit was moving and I began to see your faces. And I just began to ask God to be with you and to love you and to give you strength. And I began to pray for those issues that I know exist in our body, in this community. I began to pray for those things. Some of you have got kids that are out there and haven't come back yet. Some of you are facing some real financial challenges. Some of you guys are facing real emotional and psychological challenges. And I began to see your faces and just ask God to take it all away. And the Lord said, it's not my will that they don't experience trouble. And I said, what? He said, it's not my will that they don't experience trouble. It's my will that they turn to me when the trouble comes. That's my will for my people, that they allow me to consume them through the challenges of their lives if they will turn to me. That's my will. So my friends, my family, I want so much that there be no trouble in your life. I want so much that there be no roadblocks and no challenges, but that is not God's will for you. God's will is that those things turn you towards Him and that through Him, all of the garbage will be consumed. All of the worry and all of the doubt and all of the worthlessness that you feel will be consumed. All of the challenges of the past that have just been following you like stray animals. They follow you wherever you go like bags that you can't get loose from. His fire will consume that if you will just let Him consume you. He will not destroy you. He's not in the business of destroying His people. He is in the business of setting you free. Father, in this moment, if there is anybody here that does not have that fire but desires it, touch them in Jesus' name. May your Holy Spirit blaze with power in our hearts. Set us afire, God. We've got to be changed. We are matter-changing form right now by the power of the fire of the Holy Spirit within us. Consume our doubt. Consume our faithlessness. Consume it, God. I know by the stories in this place that by the power of your fire, you have consumed worries over cancer. You have consumed worries over childbirth. You have consumed an eating disorder. You burned it up. You destroyed it. God, if there's anybody today that does not have your fire, that desperately desires it, then may it be so. In Jesus' name, consume us, God. Father, going forth from here today, may we be living beacons of your hope. May we be fiery torches of your love. May the joy within us just burn so bright that people have to know. People have to know what sets us apart. If there are any people on the planet who should have joy unspeakable, whose joy should be visible, whose joy should be tangible, it's your people. God, this world is looking for something. This world is looking for something. They're not looking for another story. They're not looking for another trend. They're not looking for another fad. This world is looking for something that brings change. That's you and only you. God, bring people to us who need that change. And through our brokenness, may your fire shine. Through our sinfulness, God, may your light become a beacon. Through our challenges, God, may your hope shine bright. In Jesus' holy and precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.